They've got a lot on their minds. So let's get to it. You're listening to Wake Up with Finch and Kane, live on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
And wake up this morning, Greater Bridgeport area, Milford, Stratford, Trumbull, Shelton in the Valley. Wake up to your
Don't
radio
forget
home.
Lower Fairfield County, Bill. We got Greenwich. We got Stanford. We got Darien, Westport, Wilton, Weston.
And that's why you're here, to fill in my gaps of cognitive disorder that I'm showing in later life. But wake up.
I think we both have gaps.
Well, that's why we're a great team here on Wake Up. Thanks to Connoisseur Meter for giving us this democratically inclined response time for all those who are just disgusted with being divided and manipulated, tired of the right-wing screamers and whiners, tired of the science deniers and the billionaires, the climate deniers, tired of those who won't fight for you, tired of a president who defies Congress, who defies the law, defies the Constitution, and spits in the face of our democratic American history. If you've got an hour every Sunday morning for us, for Melissa and I, Wake Up will help you get ready for the challenging week we know ahead by providing you with guests that give you information, but not only information, but a patriotic, full-throated endorsement of the pillars of American democracy, which we talk about often on this show, and red meat for the ideals that built this great nation. And I know, Melissa, you want to introduce, you're dying to introduce a great champion of democracy here in Connecticut.
First, I want to say hello to you, Bill. I have missed you. As you know, I haven't been in for a couple of weeks. I've got a brand new hip, which is very exciting. But sadly, I'm not sitting there with you. And I always like to see you, my friend.
Well,
I definitely agree. Red meat. This is what we need. We need to sink our teeth into. So it's really nice to hear your voice.
Well,
and
thank
yes,
you.
I agree with you, Bill. And I know you feel like me. And our listeners are reeling from all the events of the last almost year of this continual chipping away of our democratic institutions and intensifying
and knocking down of the very house that our president lives in. He decided to knock.
That is correct.
I can't believe it. It's just disgusting.
Knock it down. Add cruelty.
Like
add
to knock him down.
Add lies. Knock him down. And forget that. On top of all of this, we've got a very obvious, talk about cognitive, very obvious cognitive decline and completely unfit behavior of this president. I just, in the back of my head for the past couple of weeks, and it's certainly not the first time, I keep thinking 25th Amendment time. I mean, sadly, there's nobody great waiting in the wings, but this is it. I don't mean to make light of it. It's really very
upsetting. You know, before the show, you talked about cognitive decline. Congress has got cognitive decline. This is supposed to be first among equal of the three equals of branches, the people's check on authoritarian rule and tyranny and monarchical tendencies. This is what all the founding fathers, from Thomas Paine to George Washington to Alexander Hamilton in particular, worried about. It needed a strong executive, but not one that would be the king, like the King of England that we all just sacrificed our lives for.
It's simple. It's checks and balances, and those seem to be failing, at least at the very least, in two of the chambers. It's concerning. But I got to tell you something, and this is why I'm super excited about our guest today. I think there's no better way to fight back against the creep of authoritarian regimes than to actually, as people, individuals, think about running against those regimes, saying, what can I do, and can I run an effective campaign, and could I possibly be that kind of part of the solution? And, you know, look, November 4th and the special elections that have come since then have definitely been the beginning of a good trend that bode well for us for 2026, for turning over the House and perhaps even turning over the Senate. But we really have our work cut out for us, right? In many ways, not the least of which is creating and running effective campaigns against MAGA candidates. And that is where our guest today fits in. Well, he fits in many ways. My friend, who I believe is on the line, I hope you're there, Jimmy.
He's here.
Are you there, Jimmy? He's here.
I am here.
Jimmy. Hi, Jimmy. Jimmy is a trusted political voice in Connecticut and has been providing guidance to local, state, and federal campaigns for years. And in addition to that, blends his political strategy with public service. Jimmy is the vice chair of the Connecticut Democratic Party, where he leads candidate trainings, among many other things, as well as an at-large member of the DNC. And he's really spent his life as a volunteer, a campaign manager, an elected official, a party leader, and a staff member to government officials. So he knows the in and outs. He understands firsthand where politics meets policy, and that is organizing. And it is so exciting, and we can talk about many things here, but what I'm most excited about is that Jimmy has written a book. He is sharing his wealth of knowledge. It's a book called Organizing to Win, The Art and Science. I love, because it really is an art.
Ooh, let's hear it for the book.
Of Running for Office, which is being published next month. And Jimmy,
I watched you open your first copy, Jimmy, on Facebook. Must have been exciting.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Not to interrupt you, Melissa.
We want to talk about that.
It was historic.
No. Welcome, Jimmy. It's pretty exciting. I mean, we want to talk about a lot of things with you, not the least of which is, you know, what the importance of service in local municipal government. But we want to talk about your book, and we're just so happy to have you here with us. Can't believe it's the first time.
I know. Thank you so much for having me. I've been thinking of both of you, Bill and Melissa. Thank you so much. I love the show that you have. This is wonderful to keep people up to speed and up to date and get more people involved, which we'll talk all about. But thank you so much for having me. I very much appreciate it.
Well, we get drowned out by all the screamers and whiners of right-wing talk radio. It's great that we have this 1 hour every week to kind of fight back a little bit and give voices like yours a little bit of an amplification. So everybody rush right out and look at Jimmy Tickey's book.
Wait,
I know I'm going to buy a copy
can
today.
Can you buy it yet? No, I think it's. Is it possible to order it now? Tell us before we get started.
It right now.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, people can pre-order it right now at organizingtowin.com. And anybody that purchases it on organizingtowin.com, I will personally sign it. And then at the end of January, January 29th, it will be widely available. So that's when it will be on Amazon and websites and hopefully some independent bookstores as well.
That is super exciting. I know Bill's got a lot of questions for you, but I really want to know.
I'm online busily trying to find a way to order the book. Organizingtowin.com. There we go.
Can we talk
nice
about what's it's a great looking cover also. Can we talk about what you cover in the book a little bit? Tell us what you're covering and sort of why you wrote it.
Thank you so much. You know, I had been teaching candidates how to run for office and training campaign managers in my post as vice chair of the Connecticut Democratic Party. And so for years, I would, you know, teach virtual trainings every month. And this idea came to me in March of last year as I was putting together more training materials. I thought, you know, we ask people to step up, to be a party leader, to be party leaders, or to run for office. And then we say, go have at it. And that person looks around and they think, what have I gotten myself into? And how do I do all these things? You know, so often these are people who have not been politically involved, which is wonderful. We want more people to get involved in this space. But when you do it, you think, well, how do I do all the things? How do I door knock and fundraise and recruit candidates?
And how do you handle the SEC?
They're
horrible.
And so I wrote the book kind of by falling into this idea, said, you know, what if I were to put all these materials together? And I did that. And then the book really flows through the chronological order of thinking of getting involved, how you get involved. There's real tangible ways to get involved locally in your community. In the first part of the book, we really set the table in the first part of the book about who to talk to, how to get involved, kind of take a sense of the environment that you're in. And then in the second part, we're really getting you to manage a campaign. We are having you think about running for office with what we call mobilization, money, and message. Every campaign needs those three things. And through the end of the book, we move through the scheduling, the debates, the attacks you will have, the setbacks, because it happens in every campaign, whether it's a federal, a state, or a local campaign. And the book really ends not only with Election Day, but I thought it was really important.
Your victory party.
Beyond Election Day. Yeah.
And hey, Jimmy, we're going to take a break.
What's next?
We're going to have to take a quick break here, guys.
Right?
We got to pay for the show with commercials. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more from Jimmy Tickey, Connecticut's newest author, right after this.
Wake Up with Finch and Kane is live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Well, we're back with Jimmy Tickey and Melissa Kane here talking about Jimmy Tickey's new book. Jimmy, I just want to thank you for writing this book, because as somebody who's been seemingly running for office my entire life, I think I've run about 30 times for different offices, and thankfully, luckily, without reading your book, I was pretty successful, but I'll hope to be even more successful in the future. Melissa's run for office. Local government is where it's at. You're in local government. Tell us a little bit about how you got elected and how that informed your book and how important it is to the next generation to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, I'm from Shelton and here in the Naugatuck Valley, and I've never studied politics or political science. I had no idea what I was getting into, as many first-time candidates will experience. And I, born and raised here in Shelton, was starting to get involved and help candidates run. And I thought, you know, I'm not seeing my perspective reflected in my own local government. I am a Democrat in a very Republican, arguably the most Republican town in Connecticut. And I ran on the budgeting board. And I ran for planning and zoning, where I've served in local office for 15 years. And in fact, was on the ballot this past November. And they tell me earned more votes than any Democrat on town record. So I want people who think, well, you
know, very impressive. Yeah, that's great.
My town, you know, never elects somebody of my, you know, political party. You really got to change your thinking, because things are changing. People are open to new candidates, and with hard work, you can really win a race and do well. So I got involved locally and was involved in nonprofits and involved in the Naugatuck Valley community. And I never thought I'd be involved in politics, truly. But then in running for office in Connecticut, you know, we're a small but mighty state, got the opportunity to meet some of our different elected officials, and then began working in the space as well. So I found myself kind of consumed suddenly at a young age by politics and running for office, but then helping to work for others.
Tell us about it.
Let me push you on that. You know, you talk about, it sounds like you were on the outside looking in, and I got a chance to read the introduction to your book, and you do talk about that. How, maybe without buying the book, can you talk to us about
I just bought it. Everybody, stop what you're doing and buy it. I just bought a copy.
Buy it.
It's only $34.
OrganizingToWin.com. But before it arrives, I'm interested to know, you know, yeah, well, you talk about Connecticut. Connecticut is it's a really unusual place, and we do have amazing, partially because of you, Jimmy, we have great scaffolding and structures, certainly through the Democratic Party, for potential candidates. However, what are other ways to get advice, right? Where can you go to? Are there local, you know, outside of this state, are there groups that you send people to? Are there other organizations? I mean, is that play a role in this book at all? Or did it play a role for you?
Yeah, so for me, I didn't look too far, because I think I just simply didn't know that there could be help elsewhere. For me, I really relied on local mentors, which I talk about in the book. And sometimes that's the best place to start. You know, talk to the person who maybe has run before, whether they won or lost, but they understand your town or your district. Really learn from them. I have a chapter called Two Ears and One Mouth, and that was the advice that was given to me.
I'm not going
to
read
really
that chapter.
In. Yeah, to listen.
I know that's a really good point. I got to say, I'm remembering my mentor when I ran for the RTM was a Republican, a wonderful Republican woman, Julie Balaga, who sadly has since passed. Julie was an amazing
environmentalist.
What an incredible person. She was an incredible environmentalist, and she truly was a mentor and taught me. It helped me sort of sculpt the why of what I was doing, which is as important, I think, as the how. Yeah.
Right.
I think that's a really good point, mentorship.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I looked around and I thought there really weren't any trainings. And that's why when I ran for vice chair of the Connecticut Democratic Party, I really ran on this idea of building the party, bringing people in, but also teaching and training. Again, we kind of just expect that someone's going to become an expert simply because they said, I want to run for office. But we really need to train people how to do this work. And so I learned by doing, and then by doing these trainings, which, I mean, I do think have worked well. We've had great local election nights this year alone, you know, flipped 30 towns from red to blue. So I think giving people the resources
incredible.
To do it.
Let me change. We don't have that much time left because I know you've got somewhere to be, but I'd love to understand what it's like. You are an at-large member of the DNC for Connecticut.
The Democratic National Committee. Jimmy Tickey's in Washington representing us as Democrats.
Well, all around the country, I think. Is leadership of the Democratic National Committee listening to local members or state members and local leaders like yourself? Do you feel like you're being listened to? There's been a lot of talk about what's happening at the DNC.
There certainly has been a lot of talk. And I think the answer to that is yes. I think, we had a really rough election night, just as I will boast about our flipping so many towns and states this year for Democrats in Connecticut and across the country. Obviously, 2024 was a really, really poor year for the party. But I think there's new leadership everywhere. There's a new DNC chair. There are many new DNC members. And to the new DNC chair's credit, Ken Martin, he actually, instead of appointing DNC at-large members, which usually happens, people just get appointed to this at-large committee, he actually freed it up and he said, you know what, let the membership vote. And when I saw that, I said, you know what, I've got ideas. I'm going to put myself forward in the spirit of organizing to win. What's the worst that could happen? I'm going to run. So I ran for the DNC this summer and I won. And it was competitive, of course.
And those were competitive. This is not just Connecticut. This was not just Connecticut voting for you. These were all the members. That's great.
Right. So I think so. I think they are really listening in to new people, to young people. I've seen a changeover of committees. There's many who want reforms in the DNC, whether that's, the small stuff that people may not care too much about, but how the party operates, or the big stuff about, primary schedules and how we go about, our whole process. So I am encouraged. I do think the DNC is listening, is focusing in, and is going to overcorrect for, past mistakes that, the party has made. And we are totally focused on an affordability message, and our candidates are too. And candidates are different in every district. What works in Virginia might be different than New Jersey or New York and so forth. So really having candidates locally represent their districts and then do the hard work of campaigning to represent people.
Well, I'm going to be the heavy again and tell you that we need to break for news and weather. But when we come back, Jimmy, I am going to throw you a tough question about the inside the belt consultants who have driven the Democratic agenda for many years, to my frustration, to the frustration of many mayors and many local elected officials who don't feel that they're being listened to. And I'd like to get your reaction to that right after this.
Talking about what matters to you this morning. Wake up with Finch and Kane, WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Well, if we want to all move back to democracy, away from monarchy, we need people like Jimmy Tickey leading the way and writing books and organizing. And his book, How to Organize, is on the news, will soon be available. I just ordered it on, what's the site, Jimmy?
OrganizingToWin.com.
OrganizingToWin.com, the name of the book, the name of the website. So before we broke, I asked you a tough question. I supported Martin O'Malley to be the DNC chairman. I knew Mayor O'Malley, presidential candidate, mayor, to be, I thought, much more grounded in what's really moving Americans right now. I think Mamdani's election proved that when it's about affordability of getting the bus or getting your food or getting an apartment or getting to your doctor, that message wins out over any other message, because that's the sweet spot of the FDR-JFK coalition of building the middle class and helping people pay their bills, get their kids to college and buy a car, have a safe place to live. We've gotten away from that. We've gotten very fancy. We've gotten into all kinds of other issues. I think because of pollsters and inside the Beltway consultants making tens of millions of dollars at our expense and delivering losses. I would argue that the 30 out of 31 wins were as much Donald Trump's disgusting behavior as anything else. We are getting a little bit better with messaging and organizing, thanks to people like you. But how do we make sure that Ken and you and others keep pushing us towards what Mamdani showed us, what Bernie Sanders shows us, that this is about populism and this is about affordability?
Right. No, absolutely. And Ken Martin has pledged to review every DNC consulting contract, because I agree, we have been as a party, somewhere along the way, we have become much more heavy on the consultant class. I mean, in
the elites.
2024 alone, the party spent hundreds of millions of dollars on consulting fees. And I'll tell you, just come here to the Naugatuck Valley, sitting around
there
a
you go.
Table. And
there you go.
That is what resonates in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Ohio. So just more talking to real people and listening to our candidates, because our candidates are the ones that are on the ground.
Knocking on the doors.
Not some,
that,
knocking
that,
on the doors.
That makes a lot of sense.
Boardroom.
Yeah.
So the broad message, and it resonates, as Bill said, everywhere, is affordability and how do I put food on my table and take care of my family. Right. But beyond that, go local. Go to what the issues are that concern the people of the district. I mean, that, it's sort of, you know, it's pretty logical, right? Absolutely. We've got, I don't know, Bill, if he's on the line yet, one of our consultants, unpaid, is Brett Brozer, who joins us.
Our man in Washington.
From Washington. Our man in Washington. I don't know if he's on the line yet, but I'm
Brett,
kind
can
of
you
interested.
Brett, are you there?
Hey, Mayor. Hey, Melissa. Hey, Jimmy.
Well, just for the insiders of this show, we have just figured out through the good graces of our producer, Paul Goodman, that even though there's only two lines coming into the studio, we can conference in several more people. And we have Brett here to ask Jimmy Tickey a question before we lose Jimmy.
There we go. This is good.
Jimmy, so I know Shelton votes Republican, and you're the highest Democratic vote getter in its history. Why do your neighbors cross over for you and not for others on the ticket?
Well, thank you. And Brett, not all consultants are bad. So,
the low paid ones are much better.
yeah, absolutely. You know, thank you. I worked really hard. And I think when you're in a tough race, whether this is a Democrat in a traditionally Republican town or a Republican in a traditionally Democratic town, I'll be bipartisan here. You just have to work that much harder, because what I found is that many people would just kind of, flick their wrist and say, well, you'll never win. You know, this is a Republican town. So you really got to tune out all the defeatism that can sometimes happen when
there you go.
A town has not been winning. Mm-hmm. And you got to pound the pavement, talk to people, and I knocked on doors in my first race. And knocking on doors has a multiplier effect, because then more people are talking about, wow, Jimmy Tickey came to my door, you know, and people are now talking about it. And what suddenly felt like a long shot campaign says, wow, this kid is really working it. He has a chance. And then you start to turn that tide that people think, well, someone like him could never win, with, wow, he seems like a contender. And I've been now running for a couple of terms, so people get to know you. So it's really about being in touch with people, accessible, and not
positive.
Afraid or scared. Yeah, you got to just go for it. And, you know, building an organization and changing minds takes time. It does not happen overnight. But people that are listening that might be curious about politics, just keep the faith and keep working, because you can flip a town. You can work to build an organization over time.
Jimmy, I have to concur with you. The first time I ran for state senate, I ran in a red district, and I lost by 200 votes. And I stayed positive. I kept working it over the next 2 years, and I ended up winning by, I don't know, 5,000 votes the next time. And that was just because
you got to keep going.
People felt, look, this new guy, he's got positivity. He's fighting for things he really believes in, because he's still fighting even though he lost. So I really do believe if you're in it for the long run, and you stay positive, most people, most Americans react to a positive message. That's why I believe, with your help, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about this, we're going to get the House of Representatives back, and then we're going to get the Senate back.
Hear, hear. I think so, and I think that's right. I think politics only works when people participate.
100%. Jimmy, I know you've got to go.
Before
and he
goes,
sorry,
I think Brett had one more question.
Yeah. Okay,
go ahead,
great.
Go ahead.
Jimmy, one quick question before you go here. And I know you're on the DNC and do a lot of great work at the state party and at the national level. Ken Martin said that Democrats are bringing a pencil to a knife fight. What's the knife?
Well, I was in the room when he said that, actually. He said that in Minnesota this summer when I had just gotten elected to the at-large seat, and it was our first meeting. And I think the knife is – let's say, a surgical knife to remove the consultant class, to really hone in on local elections, to work on the ground. And we really did have a great election night this year. Democrats have won or outperformed in every seat this year, you know, whether that is because of the chaos of the Trump administration. But also, I do think we're running good candidates. We have learned, we learn lessons. Sometimes we learn them a little too late, but nonetheless, we learn them. And I think there is a laser focus on affordability and making life better for people. And our candidates have understood that. And, you know, like I said, running a candidate in New York City is going to look differently than the candidate that might run in the Midwest or in Virginia or New Jersey. But choosing candidates from what the people decide that represent their district and talking to people. And so, you know, I think that the DNC chair was talking that sometimes we've been just a little kind of lax. And we need to be more intentional in our outreach and getting great candidates and working hard and organizing and talking to real people, less of the elites, and just pound the pavement, talk to people, because politics only work when people participate. And if we engage with people and we show them that we care and we want to make life better, then Democrats can get back to winning.
And a good place to start if you're young and idealistic and you want to get involved is to read Organizing to Win by Jimmy Tickey. Jimmy, we want to thank you so much for being on the show. Melissa, what do you think? We got to get him back again,
back?
Right?
We got to get him back. Jimmy, come back and let us know how it's going.
And we'll talk more about your state leadership
here.
Great
to talk with you all, really. Thank you so much.
Sounds great.
Thanks for taking the time. Jimmy Tickey, talk to you soon.
We're going to have to take a break at 15 of the hour for some ads, and we'll be right back after this.
Don't worry if you slept in. You're just in time for Wake Up with Finch and Kane. Now, on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
And welcome to Wake Up, your Sunday morning voice for sane thoughts and positivity and anti-Trump, anti-monarchical power going on in the United States, restoring our democracy one show at a time. Right, Melissa?
One seat at a time. Seat at a time, one election at a time. I feel like, you know, we should be the breath of fresh air. Sit back, take a deep breath, and do what it takes to get this done. That's kind of the message I get whenever I talk to our guests, especially Brett. You still there with us, Brett?
Yeah, great to be here.
So, Brett, I
always love having you.
I want to get your perspective on what's going on, but I do want to just mention, I've just finished a book by Corey Brettschneider. I say unfortunately. He's a professor of political science at Brown University, and we do want to say kudos to the Providence Police Department and Mayor Smiley and Governor McKee and all of those people in Rhode Island that really – never gave up, never gave in to the crazy people on social media who were attacking them for not doing their job. They did their job. They closed the case. The guilty have, in a sense, been brought to justice, and people of Providence are now safe once again. The students at Brown are safe after the break to come back and finish their studies and continue their studies. Kudos to Stephen Pryor and all of our friends in Rhode Island for what they did. Our neighbors to the just inches away from us in Connecticut, our hearts go out to them. But I wanted to just mention Corey Brettschneider's book, because he goes through the history of presidents who have tried to use monarchical power, kingly power, to take the power away from Congress and the Supreme Court. And he goes through four periods of time in our nation's history. John Adams with the Aliens and Sedition Act, James Buchanan with helping to arm the South and push through Plessy versus Ferguson to continue racist policies of our government that caused the Civil War, Andrew Johnson, who undid Reconstruction and ushered in Jim Crow and 100 years of lynching, presidents who did dastardly, disgusting, un-American, what we view now as un-American things, what historians will view Donald Trump as doing un-American things, talks about Richard Nixon, and his quest for power, which looks like child's play now compared to what this knucklehead's doing. The Times today, by the way, listeners, has a great article today chronicling all of this nasty behavior and unconstitutional behavior, illegal behavior by a man who calls himself president of the United States. But the interesting point I wanted to relate to you, Brett, and get your reaction is Corey said, and you're a Brown, you're a Providence guy, Corey Brettschneider, the professor, said the only thing that ever saved us was never the Supreme Court or Congress because they always sided with presidents trying to accumulate monarch power. Ironically, the People's House of Representatives, the people's voice, always sucked up to the president. The Supreme Court always enabled the president and gave him more power. It seems to me right now that what Jimmy said, what you've said, what Melissa said is we need a new constitutional constituency. He said the constitutional constituencies in the past of newspaper editors, people like Frederick Douglass and the abolitionists, all of those folks were the only reason that we were able to save our democracy from kingly moves towards monarchical power. What do you think?
Yeah, look, let me just baseline this, Mayor. Republicans here right now are struggling. If I were a Republican candidate, thankfully not a Republican and will never be, but if for Republicans looking to run for office right now, it is a bad landscape. And that's in large part due to what you just mapped out, where Donald Trump is failing and Republicans are paying for it because voters are voting against him. I mean, 9 out of 10 elections this year, Democrats did better than expected. Flipped 21% of Republican seats. Republicans flipped zero. And just this past week, a Democrat won in Kentucky by 47 points. It was a 41-point collapse for Republicans in 1 year in that district.
And that's for one reason, it seems, Brett, right? I mean, to Bill's point, this isn't coming because members of Congress are doing the right thing. This isn't coming because the people in power are trying to show the United States that, you know, they're going to course correct. This is because people, citizens, are noticing that something is very wrong and deciding to make the right choice. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Exactly, Melissa. I mean, you even see in New York where Elise Stefanik saw the numbers in her short-lived governor's race and walked away. And that's
a great loss.
Somebody who was seen, right?
Listen, Kathy Hochul is a great candidate, great governor.
It's safe looking. That gives me a little bit of hope. I hadn't really thought about it that way. I think we many of us have felt like, how did we get to where we are? There are many answers to that question. You know, 30 years of manufactured, 40 years of manufactured culture war. We can go there, but we don't have to now. But how did we get to this point where enough people were okay with what this president has said in the past and done? Enough people were okay, even if they were holding their nose and voting for him. Have we turned a corner? I don't know. If we put the right people up for election, are we able to turn that corner? Are we able to change, to change the course direction of this country? It sounds like what you're saying is the past few weeks, the special elections, the election of 25, are saying, yeah, that seems to be the case.
Exactly, Melissa. And in line with what happened in 2018 when we had a blue wave in the midterms, every signal looks even better in 2025 than it did in 2017 in terms of Democrats winning in a midterm election in 2026.
Yeah. But I mean, this is more than a blue wave. This is a red, white, and blue wave, right? These are people afraid, as we should be, for the future of our country. It's not just about political ideology.
You know, I would only disagree slightly with what you said, Melissa, and that is that we don't have to really save the country. I know what you mean by that, and we do. But we really just have to return it to our basic fundamental principles, the principles that make the pillars of democracy that
I
we used
hear
to...
you, but I don't. Yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of people who were not happy with the status quo and the way things were. And the word return to something, I don't think is a word that's going to, and I'd love your thoughts on this, Brett. I don't know that return to something is what voters are going to react well to. I think it's making something new, but maybe I'm wrong. But
the presenting of the message, you're absolutely right. But I think at the core of that, those of us who try to formulate the message have to be inculcated with the values that got us here. When we went to school, we learned about the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and that's what motivated the three of us and many people who listen to the show to fight for American democracy. It's nothing that Donald Trump ever learned or cared about or respected.
Right.
And when faced with, would you like to eat today or would you like to read the Declaration of Independence? Obviously, we know that food and basics are a priority. So if formulating the message, I couldn't agree with you more. But those of us who formulate the message must remember that we have the biggest and boldest and greatest experiment with democracy, the first place where there was suffrage. The first place where we didn't have a king was here because of tyranny, because of obstruction of our governments that we were given limited powers with, by obstructing the judges, by putting soldiers in our street, by having harsh taxation without representation.
Yeah.
Those were inciting resurrection among our own people. That's what Trump did. That's what King George did. We have to remember.
So, Bill, I got to tell you, I love you, and I agree with you, and I feel that same fervor that you do, and that is obviously all empirically true. It's why we do this show. But my gut here is that that's not what is the messaging necessarily.
Right.
I mean, that's the messaging we took into 2024, honestly.
No, I agree with you.
It's not about party. It's about democracy.
But what?
Of course, I agree with you. But if we're talking, if we're looking forward, if we're looking at 2026, I think, you know, Brett and Jimmy have sort of said this. We're focusing on, you know,
Affordability.
Look at who's telling lies,
yeah.
And look at what you know. Who's taking things away from you? I mean, Brett, what do you think about that, Brett? I'd love your thoughts.
Well, Melissa, to your point and to the mayor's point, look, loss aversion is a motivating factor, but at the end of the day, elections are about the future.
That's true, and the future was built on the principles of democracy and the principles of fighting against the monarch, and the principles, those principles.
Let's hope so.
But those principles resulted in Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. They resulted in unemployment insurance, public media. They resulted in public universities and public hospitals. They resulted in public education and public schools. They resulted in environmental protection. They resulted in student loans and the court system. Those principles that we based our democracy on, all of these things grew out of it. And all those things were largely presented and passed by Democratic Congresses and Democratic presidents, with a few exceptions. So I think by us understanding those principles that got us here, and then making sure that people understand that it's the Democrats. Read Ted Sorensen's book, Why I Am a Democrat. It's very clearly laid out.
I have, because you gave it to me, and you are right, and I love that book. And Bill, I love your patriotism and, you know, adherence to the important values that should underpin how we move forward as a country. I'm thinking here...
Messaging,
practicality, how you get people to get out there and vote and understand that their vote means something and they're going to be able to put more food on their table and take care of their families, that someone's going to be looking out for them. And yes, no matter how you package it. But we are getting to the end of our time. So I do want to ask, well, Brett, I'm going to ask you first, what is giving you hope this week? We're ending the year here. And I know what I'm thinking about, but I'd love to hear what you're thinking about.
What's giving me hope is that Democrats are winning across the country, and that Kentucky race is just yet one more indicator that Democrats are well positioned to win in 2026 and take back at least one chamber.
Well, we can't top that. So it's another edition of Wake Up with Finch and Kane here. We thank you for listening. We hope you come back.
Yes, and thank you to our wonderful producer, Paul, and to our incredible guests, Brett Brosder, who we always love hearing from, and Jimmy Tickey with his new book out, Organizing to Win.